I'm Don Marsh. Welcome to St. Louis on the Air and part two of our special broadcast of the recent mayoral forum featuring candidates for mayor of St. Louis. City voters will select Republican and Democratic candidates in the March primary to face off in the general election in April. Candidates participating in the forum are Lida Crewson, Antonio French, Tashara Jones, Louis Reed, Jeffrey Boyd, and Andrew Jones. The forum was co-sponsored by St. Louis Public Radio. We partnered with the Nine Network of Public Media, the St. Louis American, and numerous community organizations. Subject matter is loosely based on the 2015 Forward Through Ferguson report, and today we'll focus on economic development, poverty, education, and equal rights. The candidates are questioned by reporters Rachel Lipman and Jason Rosenbaum of St. Louis Public Radio and Rebecca Rivas of the St. Louis American. The forum is moderated by Ruth Ezell of the Nine Network. Here is reporter Rebecca Rivas. Okay.
This question is for all the candidates. If you look at tax incentives through a racial equity lens, the barometer for success is whether or not these incentives have created a more inclusive and equitable city. Please critique yourselves on the tax incentive projects that you have been involved in or publicly supported or opposed. For aldermen, please talk about the board bills you have written for TIFs and tax abatements. Again, the barometer is whether or not the incentives have encouraged gentrification and a stronger divide between the haves and have-nots. Let's please start with Jeffrey Boyd.
Oh, thank you for that question. I am so proud of my use in my community with tax abatement, low-income housing tax credits, historic tax credits on a state and federal level. We did a $34 million housing project in my neighborhood to bring affordable housing against all odds. I was told that it would never be done for 15 or 20 years, but we bundled these tax incentives together to create a $34 million housing development that has 112 new residential units and 7,500 square feet of commercial space between Martin Luther King, Cabrillo, Clara, and Bird Avenue, and we saved Arlington School that had been vacated since 1993. It was pigeon-infested, drug activity, all kind of illegal activity going on. They begged me to tear that building down, but I resisted because I had hope and a vision that one day a developer would come and rehabilitate that school, and we have 22 loft apartments in that school as a model of what they've done in the Central West End and in the southern parts of the city of St. Louis. I am so proud of my use of tax incentives on that project. It gave us great hope in the 22nd Ward and one of the most distressed neighborhoods in our city.
Tashara Jones.
It's for me. I'm sorry. I'm too busy writing my answer. As I said before, we've spent given away over $700 million in TIFs and tax abatements over the last 15 years. I often say that we give it out like Halloween candy. And 85% of that went to the Central West End and downtown, and has absolutely led to gentrification of those neighborhoods because thousands of African Americans have moved out of those areas and can no longer afford to live in those areas. And going forward, I would support having a citywide plan with community input and attaching community benefit agreements to all large developments so we can make sure that we're getting a return on our investments for any future developments that take our tax dollars or we use tax incentives for those developments.
Antonio French.
Yeah, thank you. The largest TIF the city has ever done is this Paul McKee TIF. I'm the only alderman up here who voted against that. Primarily because of how that community was treated. So I don't understand how you can say you view things through a racial equity lens when you support legislation like that or take money from Paul McKee. What he's done in that community is a shame. That is development that is destructive, that moves people out. Like much of the development that we've seen in the Central Corridor and some other areas, we might have seen these areas come up, but what happened to those poor people that used to live there? They don't live there anymore. They've been pushed out. So the kind of development that we have to have in the city is one that includes the people who live in those areas right now and bring more people in. We need more diverse communities, not just racially diverse, but also economically and class diverse communities. And too often we think that bringing an area up means pushing people out. I don't support that.
Lida Crewson.
Thank you for that question. Tax incentives, whether it's a TIF or tax abatement, is about half art and about half science. And our objective should be to give the developer as little incentive as possible without killing the project. Because if we kill the project, if the project does not happen, we don't have those jobs and we don't have the development. I want to cite just a couple of projects. The Loop, for example. 15 years ago, there was no pageant, there was no Moonrise Hotel, there was no Pinup Bowl, there was nothing in the Loop. That did have an incentive, 10 years of tax abatement. They're all paying taxes now. It did not displace anyone because there was no one there. There were no businesses there. There was no one living there. Olive is another great example. So if you think about Olive, the 43, 44, 4,500 blocks of Olive, there was no one living there 15 years ago. Those projects were tax abated. That would be the Field School, the Lister Building, 4448 Olive. There were no people displaced there because it was all vacant, boarded up, some ceilings, roofs fallen in. And so I think that was a very good use of tax abatement in both of those locations.
Lewis Reed.
As alderman of the 6th Ward, I had an opportunity to use tax incentives to rebuild areas like the Gate District. I don't know if any of you live in the Gate District, but it made a big difference in that area. You know, and one of the things that we did when we went into the area, you can choose to do development with a neighborhood or to a neighborhood, and we chose to do development with a neighborhood. What that meant was as we came down the block, we worked with individual homeowners who had lived in their homes forever and made sure that they could take part in the coming up of the area. And it allowed them to stay in their home and then gain the additional value from their home because we have rebuilt the entire neighborhood. So what the Gate District looks like now is one of the most integrated neighborhoods in the city of St. Louis. We have people of all races, nationalities. We have people of all income groups all living in the Gate District together, and it has been a huge success. We could do that all over the city.
Andrew Jones.
Well, again, I'm not a politician, but I am an economic development practitioner for multiple cities in Southern Illinois. I think what we're doing here, we're mixing tax abatements and TIFs as if they're one unified policy. There's a policy for residential application. There's some merit there. But you're looking at science, probably 99% of it, when you're dealing with commercial and industrial. Smaller cities that I sit on the Economic Development Commissions and boards with, we do not lead with any tax incentives. We do not have the intermodal properties that the city of St. Louis has. Phenomenal infrastructure. A lot of things to attract businesses that want to make money. These cities don't lead with it. Most practitioners and the best practices don't lead with incentives. That is a last resort. We want to make sure by doing quantitative analysis that these projects, these initiatives, pass the muster of financial analysis. If they don't, they should be round filed in the first trash can that you can see. In a city that is financially strapped like the city of St. Louis, we should not lead with financial instruments to attract them here. We have enough to attract them if we clean up the crime.
Thank you all. This question is for all of the candidates. A fourth of African American families in the city spend more than 50% of their monthly income on housing. The need for affordable housing in the city is therefore overwhelming. As mayor, if you become mayor, how will you address the issue of affordable housing in the city? And I'll direct this question first to Lewis Reed.
Well, the first thing we have to do is establish development zones. Take a look at all the LRE property that the city owns, and take a look at our carrying costs and roll those carrying costs up into a first-time homeowners program. And when we establish these development zones within our city, we can work to bring renters in. We can work to bring new homeowners into these development areas and make sure that there are housing options available from the lowest all the way up to the highest-end housing. And I think that's how we begin to make sure that we have areas that are integrated across the city of St. Louis, and we take care of affordable housing all at the same time. One of the things that we cannot do is repeat the problems of the past by continuing to warehouse poor people all within the same area. I think that that's a problem. But if we do it in a cohesive and a planned manner, we can make a big difference in the lives of people.
Thank you, Alderman Reed. Mr. Jones.
Well, again, not a politician, but again, I work in those areas, working with community development corporations in Southern Illinois. what you're trying to do in that particular region, you're trying to integrate, again, different stratas of income, class, and things of that nature. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But when it does work, it's because you have a comprehensive plan. And what I need to know and see is the comprehensive plan for community development for the city of St. Louis. Every city that I work with has a comprehensive plan that they stick to the letter, and they know what fits their particular community. I don't know if we know what fits our community, and trying to get people to move and get into areas where there is affordable housing. It is critical to have affordable housing, but you have to have the right strategic plan so you can have the right mix in order for it to work.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Lida Crewson, next.
Thank you. I think certainly there is a need for more high-quality affordable housing in the city of St. Louis and, frankly, in our region. So we would need to spend more funds on that. There's funds allocated every year to affordable housing that are actually not spent. If you look back historically, the way affordable housing happened during the turn of the century, the 10s, 20s, 30s, it was integrated housing. Mixed-use housing works the best. We don't need to have all affordable housing in one area. Affordable housing should be mixed into all neighborhoods in the city of St. Louis. I mean, that's the way it was originally developed, and it should be continue to be developed there. LRA, there are 25,000 vacant properties in the city of St. Louis. About half of them are owned by LRA. About 7,000 or 8,000 of those are buildings. We've got to figure out how to get people back into those LRA buildings that can be rehabbed, perhaps work with the community development housing corporations that already exist, and neighbors and small developers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Alderman Boyd.
Yes, over 25 years ago, my wife and I moved to our distressed neighborhood, and we transformed a four-family flat into a three-family because we were concerned about providing affordable housing for people. So today, for over 25 years, we've been providing affordable housing, and as landlords, we have never increased the rent, and we've had tenants as long as 10 and 15 years. But in the city of St. Louis, with thousands and thousands of vacant lots, there's a great opportunity for us. There's a great opportunity for us to transform all of our distressed neighborhoods, north and south. We need to package all these LRA vacant lots and buildings and give developers a chance to bid on them and create mixed-use developments throughout the city of St. Louis. The city of St. Louis has been doing development so backwards. What we do is we wait for developers to hand us a proposal. We decide whether we fund it or not. We need to stop doing that. We need to plan our own development for our own success in our communities, and we have to include affordable housing as well as other mixed-come uses. And homeless has to be part of that conversation. So I have a plan I've been talking about for all my campaign, and I look forward to implementing it.
Thank you. Tashar Jones.
I am not afraid to say that I agree with a Republican. Mr. Jones was right when he said we don't have a comprehensive citywide plan for development, and that's exactly what we need, and it needs to include inclusionary zoning for affordable housing. I would include that on new projects like the tower that's going up on Kings Highway in West Pine. That would be nice if there were some affordable housing there. We need to rebuild the Affordable Housing Trust Fund and make sure that we can use those funds as creatively as we can to help small developers, also include community benefit agreements and new developments, and stop focusing on large developers and help our small developers get access to property so they can rebuild and rehab homes.
Thank you. And finally, Alderman French.
Thank you. So for the first thing we need to do is fully fund the Affordable Housing Trust Fund. And as mayor, I pledge that we will fully fund that every year. That has to happen. The second thing is when we give large incentives to developments in the nicer part of towns, the more affluent part of towns, we need to require that it has a certain percentage of affordable units so people can have economic diversity in these areas as we rebuild our city. And lastly, when it comes to LRA buildings, we need to make sure that we are getting these buildings off of our rolls and back into the hands of people who want to rehab these houses and live in them. And if that means giving it to them for a dollar and also giving them some grants to help them do it, then that's what we need to do, because we need to get these buildings back occupied and off our rolls.
Our next topic is poverty, and Rebecca Rebus with the first question. Okay.
This question is for all the candidates. The Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis recently ranked generational poverty, meaning families in poverty for at least two generations, as the greatest issue affecting low to moderate income households. What is your plan to address the growing concern? Which city resources would you leverage to address the issue? Let's start with Lida Cruson.
Thank you. I think that most all of us know that generational poverty is a very, very serious issue, not just in the city of St. Louis, but in our country. Education, frankly, is the starting point to breaking the cycle of generational poverty. Congratulations to St. Louis Public Schools. 3 or 4 weeks ago, they were fully accredited. But I think that, you know, hopefully we will. Yes, thank you. That's good. We ought to give them an applause. But it does start with education. And then, it starts with opportunities for all to have a good job. There are very few things that a good job won't cure. So we need to prepare people to have those jobs and actually have the jobs then that they can obtain.
Lewis Reed?
Absolutely. You know, if we're not creating jobs and opportunities for people throughout our community, we should not be surprised at the end of the year when we come back and we see our murder rate still at 188. But if we begin to reconnect people to our community and begin to create jobs and opportunities for them so that they can move into new careers, we can see a mass change across our city. So I absolutely would support.
Andrew Jones?
Well, again, I think if you remember earlier, I talked about jobs cures just about every ill that we have in society. When you look at workforce development, and I do sit on a workforce development board for Bond County, Fayette County, and Madison County in Illinois, you're looking at jobs that are not being fulfilled because people don't have the skill sets and they're not attending the trade schools, things of that nature. We have to get people trained to be able to take on these career wage jobs that are available. We have to do this. Therefore, I am absolutely for building initiatives, having private partnerships as well with the city so that we can get people in position so that they can take advantage of it, so we won't have to talk about minimum wages. We can talk about career wages, and people can be full participants within the system, because if they do that, they will flourish and take off. And the last thing, since I have a little bit of a time, when they talk about households, because I look at numbers all day long, that is a static picture when you take a household a notice, but I think we should look at some of the IRS numbers, and you'll see that people are doing a whole lot better than what they report.
Antonio French.
All right. So I think it starts with two things, education and jobs. Now, education is key. Now, I know what it's like to be poor. I grew up in a single-parent household. When my mom passed away, I moved in with my grandma. We were still poor. And my mom and my grandmother always told me that the way to success was through education. I've reached the highest level of education anybody ever in my family. Got my MBA, my bachelor's degree, and now I have opportunity. And that's what we have to give every kid. The largest group of poor people in the city of St. Louis are children. And so if we don't start making sure we give them the tools to be successful in life, they will continue that cycle. Now, also related is jobs. For the folks that are already adults, 18 and older, we have to make sure that they have jobs. Now, the truth is that 20% of our adult population in the city of St. Louis doesn't even have a high school diploma. So we have to make sure that we are getting them skills to be able to get better jobs, and also currently put them in positions where they can get jobs right now. That, to me, means investing in small businesses, because it's small businesses located in neighborhoods that are more likely to give them a shot. And so as part of my crime plan, actually, it involves investing in small businesses in crime-ridden neighborhoods.
Tashara Jones?
The city of St. Louis still continues to suffer from the legacy of Jim Crow, and as a result, we have, you know, a huge gap between haves and have-nots. The median wealth of a white family is $134,000 versus a black family is $11,000. And that's why I'm so passionate about the work we've done in the Office of Financial Empowerment to help people make better decisions with their money. I also think that we need to expand our STL Youth Jobs Program to be a year-round jobs program, because that way it puts money in the children's pockets or youth's pockets, helps them take care of their family. And when we talk about education and jobs, we have to marry with financial literacy, because a lot of us get our habits, good, bad, or indifferent, from our families, and we have to change that trajectory.
Jeffrey Boyd.
Yes, as a young man growing up, I certainly understand what poverty looks like. I often tell people I'm allergic to poverty because I didn't like it. I didn't appreciate it. But I had a great aunt that taught me the value of education. And she told me, if you get a good education, then you don't have to live this lifestyle and connect with resources. So what I believe is that we need to work with our public schools and make sure we're preparing our children for jobs of the future. And we need to work with our institution of higher learning to make sure that adults who want to be retrained and young people graduating from high school or entering into our institution of higher learning to get the educational experience that they need to take advantage of these jobs, like in the high-tech industry and cybersecurity. We also need to make sure that training opportunities through our SLATE program is available. I took an opportunity to go to the military to get training. It was a phenomenal opportunity for me. It made me a better adult. So I know the value of training and education. As mayor, I will make sure that our SLATE program is well-funded, where young people and people who want to change careers will have access to training opportunities so that they can have a better quality of life and not have to be stuck in a cycle of poverty.
You are listening to the Mayoral Forum featuring candidates for mayor of St. Louis. The candidates are discussing issues of development, poverty, education, and equal rights. Back in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Welcome back as we continue our mayoral forum discussion with candidates for St. Louis mayor. Louis Reed, Tashara Jones, Jeffrey Boyd, Andrew Jones, Lida Crewson, and Antonio French are the candidates. Reporters Rachel Lippman and Jason Rosenbaum of St. Louis Public Radio and Rebecca Rivas of the St. Louis American are asking the questions. Here's reporter Rachel Lippman.
I'm going to direct this question now to the other members on the panel. Do you support the city's efforts to continue to push for the closure of the New Life Evangelistic Center? How would you improve services there if you would like them to stay open, or how would you fill the gaps if it is closed? Antonio French, we'll start with you.
Yeah, thanks. So let me say this first, that you know, when you go to Lida's Ward, you cross the street, you cross Del Mar, there is poverty. Now, what her philosophy is that they don't want to see the poverty. Okay, they want to push it out of the neighborhood because it's inconvenient to look at. Anybody wanting to be a mayor of a city that has as more poor people as St. Louis City needs to understand poverty. All right, so no, I don't support the idea that in the same year we're going to give $105 million to millionaires for a stadium, we're going to shut down a homeless shelter. And no, and I don't support what Lida says about putting the padlocks on Larry Rice's facility, because I know what that means. It's not about Larry Rice. It's about those families that don't have a place to go. And if you've ever been poor or you know about poor people, you know what that means to not have a place to go. And so I think it's imperative that the mayor of St. Louis, as poor as we are as a city, understands what it's like for poor folks in this city. And yeah, it's inconvenient to look at, but that's how we grow. We have to be a diverse city that appreciates each other.
We'll return to the question in a second. Because Alderman Crewson was named directly, we're going to give her a 30 seconds to respond.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm going to tell you, I think the New Life Evangelistic Center is not providing services to homeless people to help them get back on your feet. We should use a housing first model for homelessness. You cannot possibly get your life together from the sidewalk outside a New Life Evangelistic Center, which is where you're kicked out every morning and you're on the sidewalk. Yesterday, I was there. There were at least 60 or 70 people on that sidewalk. I don't think that's the best we can do for our most vulnerable population. And so I think we ought to have good homeless services, not warehousing in a place that's infected with bed bugs, and all kinds of violations. So I also would take objection.
Thank you, Alderman Crewson.
I don't think the alderman has any idea how I grew up.
Thank you, Alderman Crewson. Tashara Jones, do you support the efforts to continue to push for the closure of New Life Evangelistic Center? How would you either improve the services or fill the gaps left behind?
I don't support closing New Life Evangelistic Center without an option for other people to go to, and I think that's cruel. However, I think we have a missed opportunity to work with Mr. Rice to improve the services that are there. Also, I think we need to be a little bit more creative in looking at how to at homeless services. Denver and Albuquerque, for example, have a day laborers program where they employ homeless people to clean up parts of the city, And then at the end of the day, they give them access to social services to try to see why they're homeless. And also, we need to recommit to the 10-year plan that we had to eradicate homelessness. I don't know where that plan is or where it's lying. It's sitting on a desk somewhere and nobody's looking at it. Let's make sure that we pick that back up and work with the region to make sure that there are homeless services for the region, not just in the city of St. Louis.
Thank you. Lewis Reed.
You know, I think the city has lost its way. I think when we take a look at this issue, it's become an issue where they're just focusing on Larry Rice and not the bigger picture, the bigger picture being the homeless population within the city of St. Louis and how we manage it and what we do. We need to go out and measure so we understand what the homeless population looks like in the city. What percentage of them are homeless because of mental health issues? What percentage are homeless because of downturn in a certain marketplace? What percentage of them are chronically homeless? When we begin to do these things, we'll have a better opportunity of addressing the real issue. But right now, it's become an issue between Larry Rice and the current administration. I went down there during the holidays over Christmas to try to give sandwiches and blankets out to the homeless, and the police officer was sitting there, and I went up to him. I said, you know what? There's better things you should be doing with your time today instead of sitting down here at the holidays stopping people from getting blankets. But, you know...
Thank you, Mr. Reed. Alderman Boyd.
Yes. Thank you. I like to consider myself a problem solver. I think the city of St. Louis has a unique opportunity. I am extremely concerned about what will happen with the homeless population if they shut the doors come April the 1st. I think it's unacceptable that we would just allow people to be out on the street. What I would want to do as mayor is work with Larry Rice, with his center, and see how we can work together to put it in a safe space, to make sure that all the code violations are taken care of, and also that we can create wraparound services, life skill services that we can provide to the homeless so they don't have to stay in his shelter, and that they can move on to transitional housing and move on to permanent housing with the life skills. I want to partner with our faith-based community and other nonprofits that are experts in that field to make sure that we really work with our homeless population to get them to permanent and supportive housing.
And finally, Mr. Jones.
I think it's a relatively simple problem to address, particularly when we have foundational supports on the private side. We have eleemosynary concerns. We have philanthropic concerns that are more than willing to get involved. They need some level of direction, and we're looking at a regional problem. I think when you look at the collaborative efforts from our health districts, from the county health districts and the city health districts, they have a finger on this. They understand exactly what's happening, and I think they will provide the necessary support to make sure that we don't animal or treat people like animals, that we treat them as they are human beings and get them the necessary help that is there and exists. We just have to give them the proper direction.
All right. Thank you all for that round. We are now going to do our second lightning round. And first couple of questions are going to be a little longer than normal, but the answers can still be brief. Here's the first question.
Did I get to respond to that question, or did I just get the rebuttal?
I promise. From bicycle lanes to Metrolink expansion and from trails to sidewalks, many transportation projects are discussed in the city. As mayor, what is the most important transportation initiative other than Metrolink expansion that you would pursue, Mr. French?
Better bus transportation. Most people use buses, so bus transportation needs to improve in the city of St. Louis.
Mr. Boyd?
I would also say bus transportation. I think Metro should come up with an express service so that people can not take an hour and 45 minutes to get from St. Louis City to St. Louis County.
Mr. Jones?
I think the highest ridership is in North St. Louis. I think if we can make sure that we have the adequate buses, the state-of-the-art buses, I think that's our primary focus. That's the reason I'm not for Metrolink expansion.
Ms. Cruzan?
Thank you. Better bus service, more frequent bus service. Also, simple things, syncing the traffic lights. Considering eliminating some of the one-way streets, using some professional planning, traffic planning services.
Ms. Jones.
I agree with everything that's been said about expanding bus services.
Okay, Mr. Reed.
Expanding bus services, number one, but we also need to take a look at what we can do to be more renewable in the city. I think we should look at a car share program, have that downtown. I also think we should look at a bike share program.
Okay, thank you. Next question. On development projects that receive city support, should developers who fail to meet minority participation requirements be financially penalized? Mr. French.
Yes, and I've introduced legislation to do just that.
Mr. Boy.
I think absolutely over a certain dollar amount. We couldn't do that with people that's just doing two houses.
Mr. Jones.
I think we should not discriminate across the board.
Ms. Cruzan?
Yes, absolutely. There ought to be clawback provisions for any incentives if the developer doesn't meet the terms of the redevelopment plan, and that would include the minority participation goals.
Ms. Jones?
Yes, absolutely. We should hold developers accountable when they don't meet those goals.
Mr. Reed?
Absolutely. We should treat it as a breach of contract.
Should the city spend about $100 million over the next 30 years to upgrade the Scott Trade Center, Mr. French?
No.
Mr. Boyd?
I'm not convinced it's a good deal.
Mr. Jones?
Ditto.
Ms. Cruzan?
I voted against that at the Board of Aldermen.
Ms. Jones?
No.
Mr. Reed?
Yes.
All
you
right.
Know
and
why? All right. We're talking about creating jobs and economic activity, we have to invest, especially in our own property. I mean, we own the building.
Okay.
We own the building.
Thank you very much.
We can
shutter it
or fix it.
Okay. That concludes the second lightning round, and we are now going to start on the final round of panel questions. It's going to be the same format as the first two rounds. You'll each have 60 seconds to respond. The issue is education. Jason?
Thank you. And I want to be clear here that the mayor of St. Louis does not have a lot of direct control over the education system, but they do have some things that they have to do, and they have the bully pulpit. One of the things that became very evident after Ferguson is our schools, especially in St. Louis and parts of St. Louis County, are still heavily segregated. And I want to know what each of you would do using the bully pulpit to convince more middle and upper class white residents like myself to send their children to St. Louis public schools. I'm going to start with Lewis Reed.
Well, first thing you have to do as the mayor, you have to believe in the product that you're selling. So I think it's important as the mayor that we position our school system appropriately. We talk about the great things that are happening within our system. We talk about the advantages of people sending their kids to our St. Louis public school system. We continue to work to provide more funding for them by working with the state and trying to get more funding through DESE. And I know that's a tough thing, but we have to approach it and try to get that done. I think we also need to understand what's happening within the classrooms. You know, across the last 10 years, I've had the opportunity to be involved with the rebirth of the St. Louis City Public Schools, and I've had an opportunity to really truly understand what's happening with the teachers and administrators. And we have great staffing, and we have great kids going to our schools, and there are a lot of great success stories that we need to tell.
Lyda Cruzan.
Thank you. As I said earlier, congratulations to St. Louis Public Schools. I think it is absolutely critical that the public schools continue to get better, because while we have the best high school in Missouri at Metro High School, the schools are also uneven, and not all of the schools are good enough. Every single decision that we make about education ought to be driven by what is best for the kids. I also happen to support charter schools because I think they are educating 10,000 kids in the city of St. Louis today, and many of them are doing a good job, and of course, our parochial schools. Our city would have much fewer people here today had it not been for the role that parochial schools have played over many years in our city, educating our kids. Every parent wants the best for their kid, and every educational decision ought to be about not what's best for the administrators, not what's best for the teachers' union, not what's best for any individual, but rather what's best for the kids.
Thank you. Tashara Jones.
Yes, as treasurer, I started the College Kids Children's Savings Account Program, which gives a college savings account to every kindergartner in a public school that's district or charter. And we have a great partnership with district and charter schools. What I would do as mayor is continue that same partnership. Even though the mayor has no direct authority, it doesn't mean that she can't be a better partner. And working with our school administrators to see what we can do to remove barriers to education for our children. For example, also in the treasurer's office, every year we pick a school and do a community service project. We clean that school from top to bottom, work with the principal to see what he or she needs, and think about what our school system would look like if more of us develop those partnerships with our schools, no matter where our children are sent to school. So I think that we as a community need to develop better partnerships with our schools, no matter where we send our children.
Thank you. Andrew Jones.
Well, I think the problem can be fixed relatively simple by offering opportunities for choice. The biggest asset that most people have, their most sacred asset, are their children. And people hold on to and they cling to and they want the best opportunity for the enrichment and development of their child. If you have an opportunity to put your child in a school that fits them perfectly, whatever their needs may be, I think you should have an opportunity to enroll your child in that particular school. Very simple to me. School choice, market opportunities, and I think you will see that your children will flourish.
I have to follow up there. How will that make the St. Louis public schools better if lots of people are using school choice options not to go to the St. Louis public schools?
Well, school choice is what it is. It's a market opportunity. And again, when you're talking about the city of St. Louis and its school systems, what you will find traditionally is that will force them to do a better job in training and educating their own children.
Jeffrey Boyd.
Yes, our school system suffers from the same perception that our city as a whole suffers from. Now, everyone who lives in the city of St. Louis doesn't live in a bad neighborhood. All city of St. Louis schools are not bad schools. My wife and I made the conscious decision and a choice to send our children to St. Louis Public Schools. I'm a proud product of St. Louis Public Schools. My son, my oldest daughter graduated from St. Louis Public Schools. My youngest daughter is a junior at Metro, one of the top performing schools in the state of Missouri. My grandbaby attends Washington Montessori. If you want to change a system, you need to be part of the system. And as mayor, I want to be out in these schools, inspiring these young children, attending the rallies at school to motivate them to achieve academic excellence. We can change our schools around if we're all, as adults, are willing to partner with our school system in a meaningful and impactful way that changes lives of our children. And as mayor, I will set the standard.
Thank you, Antonio French.
Thank you. I think first thing you have to do is lead by example. So I send my little boy to St. Louis Public School, and I will continue to do that as mayor. I think it's important to highlight that St. Louis Public Schools has many very high-performing schools. Now, you mentioned segregation in SLPS. Now, one of the tragedies, though, is that the white students that go to St. Louis Public Schools are more likely to go to a high-performing school, and the African-American students that go to SLPS are more likely to go to an underperforming school. Now, that is something we have to fix. And as mayor, I would partner with SLPS to make sure we are raising up those schools that are struggling and that are low-performing in the city. We can also do that through support services through our recreation department to make sure that we have mentoring and after-school programs, including tutoring, in-city facilities after school to make sure education can continue even after school hours.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have one more set of questions. The issue is equal rights. If we can keep our answers brief, that would be very helpful. Rachel, you have the first question.
I think I'm going to go to Rebecca on this
okay.
one.
Okay.
Change things up on you. Sorry, Ruth.
Okay, this is for all the candidates. Should St. Louis Police Department help enforce violations of federal immigration law? We're going to start with Antonio.
No. And actually, I introduced a resolution a couple of weeks ago that will ask the city council to come back and show us our options in becoming a sanctuary city, or at the very least, protecting the rights of our foreign-born population.
Jeffrey Boyd.
Absolutely not. I think our police department need to spend our resources making our communities much safer than they are today.
Andrew.
Read the question again, please.
Sure. Should the St. Louis Police Department help enforce violations of federal immigration law?
As mayor of the city of St. Louis, I am a constitutionalist. We will enforce federal law because the city of St. Louis will be penalized and punished if we don't follow law. Is that something personally that I take solace in? Certainly not. But again, if we're going to mete out justice equally across the board to everyone, we have to follow law. I'm a constitutionalist and I follow the law.
Lewis Reed.
Absolutely not. I tell you, our police officers have enough to do. I mean, absolutely not. Opposed to going out and rounding up people because they may think that they are, you know, illegally here from Mexico or whatever. I think that absolutely not. We have enough to do. We're faced with a crazy amount of crime in the city of St. Louis, and if we are using our law enforcement to enforce Trump's rules, I think that that's a mistake.
Tashara Jones.
Absolutely not. And our staff has already been in contact with Mayor de Blasio's office in New York to make sure that we're following his lead and other strong mayors across the country as they fight back against the Trump agenda on immigration.
Lida Creason.
Thank you. Absolutely not. Here's the problem with this. So many problems. But one of them is, if you want to have a safer city, you have to have everyone who's willing to report crimes. Otherwise, what you create is a group of people that won't call the police, and they become victims again. And so it's not the job of the St. Louis Police Department to round up people who may not have the proper documentation. It's the job of the St. Louis Police Department to try to keep all of us safe, and that includes immigrants, even undocumented immigrants in our city.
And now it's time for the closing statements, and we're going to do them in the same order as we did with the opening statements. Antonio French.
All right, I appreciate it. Well, thank you for coming out tonight. You know, in 13 days, we have a clear choice on the ballot. We can go with status quo, or we can change our direction as a city. I think we finally need to have a mayor who understands the entire city. We have a very diverse city, both racially, economically. We have so many different people, so many different communities with so many different needs. I think it's important that we elect somebody who understands these neighborhoods, who brings back these issues that are very diverse and very unique to many different parts of our community, and bring those back to City Hall and enact policy that helps bring up these neighborhoods. We have to start focusing on the quality of life of the 315,000 people left in this city and make this a place that more people want to move to instead of continually moving out. The top two reasons that drive people out of our city, crime and public education. So we have to start focusing on the quality of neighborhood safety. We have to start focusing on making sure we have a police department that is building relationships, not breaking those relationships. It's not just training, it's also accountability. That's what people are asking for, accountability. And so as your mayor, I hope to do that. I hope for your support on Tuesday, March 7th.
Ms. Creason?
Thank you. Thank you all so much for being here tonight, and I do appreciate the fact that you care enough about who the next mayor is in order to sit here and to listen to us this evening. I will also say this. I think there are three top things that the next mayor needs to do. Neighborhood safety, we talked a little bit about that. Certainly economic development and jobs, not just jobs, careers. That means thanking the businesses that are here now and trying to create an environment where small businesses can scale up. That's where the job growth in this country is. And then finally, modernizing our government. We didn't talk about that tonight, but I think that's very, very key. Our city, the fight, the competition is not between Clayton and the Central West End or Hazelwood and Wildwood. The competition is out there. It's between Nashville and St. Louis and Kansas City and Chicago and all of those cities. We have to modernize our government if we're going to be competitive in this world. I would say select a mayor who has a history of accomplishment, a history of turning a neighborhood around, a history of development, a history of treating people fairly and of taking on the tough issues. I'd love to have your vote March 7th.
Jeffrey Boyd.
Yes, thank you again for being here. You've heard a lot about what the candidates want to do. I want to tell you what you will not get from me. You will not get scandal. You will not get drama. And I will not embarrass you. I will not sit in the office for 10 years and do nothing to impact your quality of life. I will not take advantage of perks. I will be fiscally responsible and honest with your dollars. I will value all citizens from north to south, especially our homeless. This is what you will get from me. a proven track record of accomplishments, and a commitment to real change. I'm Jeffrey Boyd. I stand on my record, and I ask that you vote for me for real change for the city of St. Louis as your mayor on March the 7th. Thank you.
Deshara Jones.
Thank you for coming tonight. This has been a wonderful opportunity for you to get to know us better. But as you're getting to know us, I want to ask you to do one thing. Take a look at all of us. Take a look at what we've done, what we've accomplished, things we've supported, things we've voted for. There's a voting record to look at. And judge us. Somehow or another, over the last 15 years, St. Louis fell off the map. And I want to be the mayor that puts us back on the map in terms of growth, in terms of innovation, and in terms of taking care of its people and putting people before projects and profits. I firmly believe that prosperity and justice are achievable for every family in St. Louis, no matter if they live in North or South St. Louis. And I want to be the mayor that takes us there. Thank you very much for coming. God bless you all. Good night.
Andrew Jones.
Our platform includes four component parts. Safety, eliminating violent crime. Economic development, community development, business development, number two. Number three, strengthening our schools and developing workforce initiatives to empower adults to get meaningful career jobs. And last but not least, civic excellence. The thing that drove me to want to run for this particular office instead of sitting on my political armchair quarterback position and saying that they should do this because I have the expertise to change and fix this, I said, let me get involved because I am responsible to get involved to try to help our city with some level of expertise that I think I bring to be your next mayor of the city. And I think it's important to remember, we're not just talking 15, 16 years. We're talking 66 years of continuation of policy by a very specific party that has put our city in this position. And if people are calling for change, they can't deliver change, but Andrew Jones can. Vote for me in March.
Lewis Reed.
All right. Well, you know, I've had an opportunity to serve for quite a while. And, you know, during that time, I've had an opportunity to get a lot of great things done. When you take a look at the reaccreditation of our school system, there's only three people in government that had a role in that. I'm the only person on this stage that had a role in that. The mayor had an appointee, the governor had an appointee, and I had an appointee that went in and turned the system around. So I understand the public school system, I understand the value of it, and I understand that we cannot exist without as a city without a strong public school system. I also understand addressing issues of public safety. As an alderman of the 6th Ward, I was able to turn our entire community around and rebuild it from the ground up. And as part of my job as president of the Board of Aldermen, I had an opportunity to work end-to-end across this city in every single neighborhood in the city of St. Louis, brought next door to the city so that now 40,000 people across the city of St. Louis are communicating with their neighbors and working together and rebuilding their communities. Brought Bike St. Louis to the city of St. Louis so that now we have these bike routes connecting people all across the city and all of our major stops.
All right.
Out of time.
I want to thank all the candidates, and I want to thank you for joining us. I want you to remember the primary municipal election is March 7th. The general election is April 4th. If you are registered to vote in the city of St. Louis, cast your ballots in both. My name is Ruth Ezell. I bid you good night.
You have been listening to a mayoral forum featuring six of the candidates seeking to become the first new mayor of St. Louis in 16 years. The candidates were Antonio French, Jeffrey Boyd, Lida Crewson, Lewis Reed, Tashara Jones, and Andrew Jones. The primary is March 7th, and the general election is April 4th. The forum was organized by more than 10 community organizations and inspired by the 2015 Forward Through Ferguson Report, which seeks to move the region forward by creating a path toward racial equity. Thanks to moderator Ruthie Zell of the Nine Network and the panelists, reporters Jason Rosenbaum and Rachel Lippman of St. Louis Public Radio, and reporter Rebecca Rivas of the St. Louis American. To listen to the entire two-hour forum, unedited, visit stlpublicradio.org/forum. Tomorrow on this program, we'll be joined by Bill Siemering about the important roles he's played in the founding of NPR and the creation of All Things Considered. This has been a special presentation of St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.